Hello, welcome to Tech Corner. It is Wednesday, the 27th of November, for posting on the 29th, and the 28th is Thanksgiving. So by the time you listen to this, we will have had Thanksgiving. Welcome, James.
Hi, Carolyn, and happy Thanksgiving to you too.
Well, thank you. And we just finished recording Best of Tech Corner yesterday, and that will post on Tuesday. So that's real. I found that really interesting. And unlike the usual Tech Corner, it's a visual, although you don't see James, but you see me, and we actually play some of the clips. So
Video
you'll be
clips.
able to do that, and we will include links to all to everything that we covered. So let's see. Our first question, we got some really good questions this week. I thought they were very interesting. First question is, in light of the pager incident, which we talked about on the in quite detail in Best of Tech Corner, in light of the pager incident and the awareness that any upgrade to a new phone could increase the likelihood of the same vulnerability with the phone, is there any benefit to keeping an older model of a phone when required updates make a phone incompatible with changing technology? Any comments about the new iPhone 16 with Apple Intelligence or Elon Musk's Tesla phone?
Oh, yes, indeed. I'm going to put this in the show notes, but Rob Braxman does, and I've posted this previously. It's called the New AI Assistant Threats. You've got Gemini, you've got Apple's new AI assistant, and then you have Google's new AI assistant. And all of them are going to try and make AI your buddy. And the threat on Apple is the new M2 chip or the M3 chip. God, it might be M4 now. And it is, and may I say, I'm a big fan of it, but what they're going to use it for doesn't thrill me. So, the object of the drill with the new AI assistants is twofold. A, it's going to, according to Braxman, be a vehicle for getting around encryption. So, they operate on your desktop, therefore, they're behind the encryption. So they're, according to Braxman, they're going to gobble up your data and send it back to Fang. Okay. And this includes all three, Microsoft, Google, and Apple.
So everything that's current now or
No,
brand new now
I would say 16 and
includes
below.
that AI.
I would say 16 and below. Yeah, that's when that newest, the new personal AI buddies. So this is the evolution of Alexa. The next step that we may hit on, which we did talk about in the Best of Tech Corner, is they want you to have an AI robot buddy that follows you around. It's not enough for them to pick up all your audio information, a voice print. They want to have this thing follow you around with cameras, et cetera, and watch everything you do every day.
I didn't know there was a Tesla phone.
I didn't know there was a Tesla phone either. I doubt seriously if Musk would not include an AI assistant because it's all the rage, and he's such a proponent.
Well, after what we saw on Best of Tech's Corner, which we also saw in a previous episode about Elon Musk's Tesla automatic driving AI, I'm not sure I would trust something of Elon Musk in the area of AI.
Well, let's look at AI. How old is AI? Not very. That's running out, and you don't want to be the first person on your block with new technology, because just as a consumer, the first release is full of bugs. Why grab something that's all buggy? Secondly, why purchase something that is going to sit back and rat on everything you do. And so take a look at Mr. Braxman's new AI assistant threats, which will be in the show notes. And he goes into great detail about where all the bodies are buried there and what it'll probably do to you. But the other thing is, is this is another step of dumbing you down. They don't want you to be able to use a keyboard. They want you to be totally dependent on technology. First off, how many people, how many kids write script anymore? How many people can actually do math in their head anymore? You have to go run scurry to your device to pull up your calculator. And right now, they want you to, this is a methodology, in my opinion, of making you totally dependent on the AI system. Now, if you're an elderly person and let's go back to the next extension of Alexa, which is the AI robot. Then it would be wonderful to have a robot, an R2D2 or C3PO, that would do things for you, like take out the garbage, maybe cook a meal.
Oh, and if you're paralyzed to having
Yeah,
Neuralink,
it would be
it's
having a nerve.
great.
Yeah. So yeah,
You
so
need to call.
again, yeah, if they can cure your paralysis, sure. That's an amazing thing. But you have to go back and realize who's regulating this. It
And
gets back,
who's controlling?
right, who is actually crawling into the code to see it's the same problem you have with voting machines. You have millions of lines of code in a voting machine, and you can't get into the source code because the courts have said it's private property. I beg your
Right.
pardon. You can't have private anything running a public election. Okay? Sorry. But
But
the
the other
problem.
thing is, so I'm using an iPhone 11 because I was told that's the way to avoid
Hey,
5G.
you got me beat. I'm using iPhone 7.
Yeah,
And
I mean
to
it's
answer,
not because
to
it's
you're right.
cheaper that I got it.
Right. To answer this question, like I said, I'm using iPhone 7 and I'm still on. So yes, I would suggest I wouldn't go with the iPhone 16. I'm by all means definitely go with an older phone. And be sure if you're using Apple to make sure your firewall is turned up to the nines. And we have a process for that, and I will post that. I'll post that
Okay, great.
again. In fact,
Okay,
I will make a note.
the second one is a really interesting observation and question. This person says, I am working with an AI consultant with our business as we are trying to gain a better understanding of how AI will impact everything on the business front. The consultant has challenged our mindset with the perspective of since AI is going to be the next medium, the more people who want to protect their freedom can be involved in AI development and the training bots, the more AI can become influenced by the right people to protect freedom and information. It was interesting just testing ChatGPT with questions of events that the bot referred to as conspiracy theories based on resources it pulled from the internet. I could challenge the bot on its definition of conspiracy theories, asking, what about facts that were once labeled conspiracy theories but were later found to be actually true? It responded by pulling those very examples and adding them to its data sets. Then I corrected its conclusion and redirected it to include resources of a different opinion supported by the facts, presumably anti-vax or something like that. Our consultant said that if the right people could become more involved in proactive training of the bots, we might be able to prevent a full hijack of this new tech medium or use it to protect ourselves. One of her challenges was that if we had known how powerful other mediums like television or the internet would become, what would we have done to become more proactive about the medium to protect our interests?
So,
What do you think?
well, all I can tell you is the people that are releasing AI software, open source, there's a tremendous amount of pressure by the powers that be to corrupt AI at its source. And it is my opinion they are throwing a ton of money at it. It would be interesting, in other words, you would have to know what version of ChatGPT was altered by, let's say, the good guys, the guys that are trying to train it to be a real tool, as opposed to being the ultimate tool of censorship. And then, is there somebody who's on the back end of that repository that's not going to mess with those entries? Don't know. So this is something that we would
You
have to
mean along the lines of you put something correct in Wiki about something that Wikipedia that you're an expert on and get out? Is that what you're saying?
But this is more insidious because you don't know who's on the back end of this. So if this is sitting on some open source repository and it's ChatGPT, my guess is they're running AI in the background. The people with the real money are very dependent on AI. Why? There are trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of bytes of info on the internet that need to be sifted through to find the nuggets you need to do what you want to do, okay, in any endeavor. AI's real talent is to crawl through the minutiae. It's to crawl through all the videos at Popeyes on Facebook to find something incriminating or something interesting about a person that they want to save to later. The rest is just noise. You see my point? So we are watching the weaponization of AI. And yes, there's going to be a tremendous fight over trying to get AI where it's going to be a boon to humanity, like desktop computing was. But the other problem we have is that AI, in a lot of people's opinions, is the next tech bubble.
Well, there are already indications that some businesses are not just spending a lot of money on AI.
Right,
And the
right.
AI stocks are, n at least at some point, sometimes are not doing quite as well as expected.
Exactly. Therefore, a tremendous amount of capital outlay with no return. Ugly. So that's tame. In my opinion, the systems has been hijacked to verify what OS AI offerings are without internal booby traps that will require a great deal of time and technical and financial resources to go through to see if they operate it. So you have two threats or two problems. One is going to cost is investing in AI going to cost you a lot of money and yield little or no results for the outlay? Or is it just acting as a data gathering tool, much like Alexa?
Well,
And
and that is true. Once my understanding is once you go into ChatGPT and put in your scenario for your business, it remembers.
Oh, absolutely. The theme I went on about ad nauseum in the Best of Tech Corner was that AI is a forerunner of Skynet. We're back to the Arnold movie, okay? And obtaining every scintilla of info it can get is imperative for the tactical and logistical success of the Great Reset. Now, that might be an extremely paranoid and delusional opinion, but as a dear friend of mine used to say, paranoid survive. The way tech has been weaponized against the general public is, and we don't have riots in the streets about it here, is amazing
I think a lot
because,
of people.
there are a lot of people that are really irked, but again, you are looking at if you go, so if you're, so what this subscriber is dealing with is he's in the trenches trying to get this thing pointed in the right direction. And I did a lot of software testing. So for this thing to work, I would suggest you have someone in your organization who's using ChatGPT. If you have a technical person, have them test what you put in and make sure it's still there. So after you put
Going to
it back,
use it for business
right,
purposes.
right. Right. And so if you're able to influence ChatGPT or any other open source AI application, go in and make sure that the changes you made for the good are still there and that haven't been, especially when there's a new release. So let's say you put it in version 0.53, whatever, and 0.56 comes out. Go into that version and QA and make sure that those changes are still there. All right. Now,
Right.
just because you put those versions in, that snippet of Oswald didn't kill the president, ta-da, in this, it doesn't mean that there are other parts of the same software package that aren't data mining the snot out of you. Okay.
Yeah.
See my point? So AI is a very complex
We just don't
application.
know what's behind under the.
Right. Finding
Mm-hmm.
out what's under the hood, this is a like, this is nowhere near the problem you have with Tesla, trying to figure out what's going on with Tesla's autopilot. This
Right.
is something that you can get into because the source code is there. Okay.
Oh.
Okay. So you can get into open source. You can go look at the software in the code and then test it and say, oh, gee, did my changes stick is the question.
Now,
Okay.
I am including in the notes a link to a C something that was on 60 Minutes, which was about the people in Kenya who are labeling for AI. And I thought it was very
Well,
interesting.
is that labeling or training?
Well, that's what they're doing. They're training
Oh,
AI, but they're
okay.
telling AI, this is a car, this is a. And they're actually looking. One of the really sad parts is that they're having to watch pornography and violence, in order to, have AI deal with it. And some of these people are making claims that they need psychiatric help after spending, that they've been
Well,
traumatized
if
by
you,
having said it.
well, all I can tell you, what floors me is that they haven't come up with a AI object for a car. In other words, object-oriented programming has methods, properties, and functions. It's how all your GUIs work. Okay, and the fact that they haven't been able to def have a universal object vehicle, say vehicle. Okay, so you have a parent class of vehicle. Okay, you have a parent class, an object called vehicle. And then they have child instances of this. And in that, you have truck, you have trailer, you have, all the motorized, all of the sub descriptions of every type of vehicle under the parent class of vehicle, and then the child classes are just the slight variations of what a vehicle is. The fact that they haven't done that for AI kind of floors me. And it may not be the exact same model in the AI methodologies, which I've never coded in AI, so I'm definitely drastically ignorant on that. But if they're using object orientation, then you would think, again, this is how a computer works. You have an object, parent class, vehicle, and then all the child classes of everything else. And the fact that they have to have people talking to AI, telling them what that is, basically tells me they're having trouble defining all the instances of what a vehicle is in a
Right,
video.
this is for automatic driving purposes, right?
Well, I'm just talking about this. I'm just talking about, so it's not just vehicle, because if they have people in Kenya going, that's a chicken, that's a ball, that's a pair of tennis shoes, and they're having to have people put verbal input or type in what it is that it can't recognize it. Your libraries on, let's go back to vehicle, are going to be huge. So imagine having a definition of vehicle that covers every permutation of vehicle there is on the planet. And let's just
Right.
say Motorized vehicles. Let's not go with anything else. We're just talking motorized vehicles. So the definition that AI is going to have to use is going to have to be able to cover every type of motorized vehicle on the planet with enough
Right.
descriptive lingo to be able to do to find the proper vehicle, okay? Okay, to find the proper definition that fits what they want it to identify, okay, in the program. So
Right.
no wonder, so this is bleeds over back into your point about Musk, okay?
Yeah.
So my guess is Musk and company are having a hell of a time trying to make all these definitions. Now he's just doing autopilot. Now that's a big deal. Now autopilot in the sky with airplanes are a lot
Yes.
easier because you have miles and you've got, air traffic controllers going, wake up, schmuck, don't get too close to that airplane, warning you of where you're going. You don't have that. And on the road,
Yeah.
so just think about this. So forgive me for getting so technical, but what you're doing as that autopilot device is trying to figure out what's going on the road, it has to identify everything it sees. So it's got to take a picture.
Well, you can see why there have been crashes.
Oh yeah, so it's just the amount of data it's got to go through to identify what's what. Now, it doesn't have to identify it the exact, it just has to identify things as a vehicle. It's got to identify its distance. It's got to identify when it's going to hit it. So there's all sorts of other permutations, but that's a lot of CPU power to make that kind of decisions. So yeah,
Now we know why AI is taking up so much
power.
bandwidth.
Yeah, so
Yeah.
much bandwidth and power. So yeah, and so we also touched on this on the best of is that the tremendous amount of power it's going to take to drive these autonomous systems is going to be akin to, more than the state of Texas.
Okay. Question three. Hi there. A little while ago, you mentioned Yandex as a good search engine to use. It is. It doesn't seem to restrict searches in the way that even Brave and Swiss Cows are doing. And it's quick. For your interest, I can access Solari using Brave. I can access Solari using Brave, a question raised in the tech corner. Curious as to Yandex's credentials, I did a search. This is what I found. Yandex is a search engine owned by the company Yandex, based in Russia. In 2015, Yandex Search generated 51.2% of all the search traffic in Russia. In February 24, Yandex announced the sale of the majority of its Russia-based assets to a consortium of Russian-based investors. In July of 24, the sale was completed, giving the Kremlin more control over the business. What is your view regards privacy of data for international users? I have a VPN and use Ubuntu. Thanks.
Well, all I can tell you, okay, as we pointed out, Yandex is a Ruski offering with all the baggage that that entails. Unfortunately, it's the best red pill search engine there is. Any other search engine has the blue pill filter set on 11, right? In my humble opinion, as far as the international threat implications, the Ruskies are probably making a buck on your info too. So, again, if you don't pay for it, you're the product. Now, I use it when I am looking for something red pill. It's the only, to my knowledge, I've pulled up Tor. I'm playing with Tor, seeing what kind of search results I get. And Yandex is superior to anything I've used in Tor, which is a browser you can search the dark net with. So it's that Tor is a whole nother universe. So I won't pursue it, but I will tell you, we're stuck with the tools we have. And if anybody comes up with something superior to Yandex that yields the same red pill results, please, please, please let us know.
Right. I mean, we just don't know.
You don't. You don't.
I mean, China, iPhones are made in China, all Apple equipment. And as I understand it, they're back doors. You know, what can
Oh,
you say? They're there.
let me tell you this. Okay, I had a buddy of mine that was working with the Chinese on a solar thermal project, and he was walking into this company with his phone. And he said, "What kind of phone you have there?" And I've said this, please forgive the repeat. Showed him his Apple phone and said, "Don't let the didn't they didn't even let it in the building. They made him leave it in his car." And he said, "Why?" He says, "Well, we can hack one of those things in like under 30 minutes." So what does this imply? So that implies the Chinese who made the bloody things and put in their own back doors.
Right.
And all of them, and that's well known in China. So again, yet another risk factor you have to try and mitigate.
Yeah. Okay, the next one. Please address the efficacy of surveillance blockers, in particular devices such as those found at this particular link, which is jammerstore.com. Also, do EMP blockers work? How do we sort out if these devices are
Oh
scammed
God.
or official? Some
Okay.
of them sounds too good.
So all I okay, couple of things here. You can purchase all the jammers you want. You can manufacture all the jammers you want. But last I looked, jammers are against the law in the US. They are an
To use.
FCC to use. They are an FCC violation subject to serious FCC fines. Again, it isn't legal to purchase one. So if you're going to use one, heads up, because tell you the truth, if I had my choice between getting on the wrong side of the FCC or the IDF exploding radio group, I'd rather hack off the IDF.
Okay, how about EMP blockers?
Oh, well, I have known people who Catherine uses one. I don't remember what it is. She says she's had some success, but I know people, and oh God, I'm gonna have to go try and find this link, that are very, very, very sensitive to this. And they
Or
can't even,
magnetic
right,
radiation.
that yes, so they have to go out and get whole house devices
Yeah.
and live on the outskirts of town and be that kind of thing, because it depends on you. It depends on your vulnerability to the technology. And just because one EMP blocker works for your buddy, it may not work for you because you may be susceptible to a different set of frequencies. You understand? So
You know.
that's the problem. And my heart goes out to anybody who is very susceptible to all this EMP smog, because if we could see it, if we could see all the, all the RF microwave smog that we exist in, would be terrified or
But one tip is, if you're sensitive to it, you do not want electronic devices like cell phones in your car
well,
because
yeah.
the car amplifies.
Where you're going to feel it, you're going to feel it. In an electric car, there's an inverter, and the inverter creates a tremendous amount of RF noise to take the DC, to get up to the high voltage DC. They have to take whatever the battery pack is and ramp it up and do all these things to drive it into a sawtooth style high frequency AC, and then they trim it off and rectify it to turn it into high voltage DC. And that, if you're ever around a big solar field, you can take your AM radio and change tune it to 14.4, and you won't be able to hear anything. All you're going to hear is a from the inverter noise. I've done that. So, yes, this is another instance of buyer beware. We'll see what we can do. We should revisit this in another tech corner and come up with some items that might be of use to these folks and see
Now,
what we
I
can
have
find.
some ear tubes, which are supposed to be better than regular earbuds. And I've broken them. I lost the first one by leaving it on a plane, and the second one pulled apart. So I don't know. They're fairly expensive, but
Oh,
yeah, I'm
that's ugly.
compared to others. But anyway, who knows?
Buyer beware.
And then the fifth question is, oh my, while listening to your last Tech Corner on the 1st of November, I heard Carolyn mention that Google has the passwords for other sites. What does that mean? Do they have the password, for example, for Solari Report? Or do they have the password for my other Gmail accounts? Please clarify and tell me more about this horrible company called Google.
I put a sh link in the show notes called Google Password Manager. And this is a YouTube video. So note if you're using Chrome, then all of your passwords for those sites are stored in Google Password Manager. Anytime Google Password Manager is the thing that allows you to go into Amazon, Facebook, you whatever, YouTube, and I'll just log into it. Pretty as you please. Okay? Because Google, that's Google stuff, and lo and behold, they have your password for their sites. Now, so any site you visit on Chrome and that you have a password for to get into a particular site, Google's has it.
Okay, but I have never used Chrome, and my passwords were on
Firefox.
I don't know. Yeah, I think Firefox,
Right.
but
That's fire that's the Firefox password manager.
so that means if somebody can hack into your browser, that they can find your passwords?
Well, yeah, but typically that's encrypted and getting there are yeah. If you're successful in hacking, if you know where to look in the directory structure and you have the ability to decrypt Firefox's encryption, you can get into it. That
Okay, but
goes,
that's what you have to do in
but
order.
yeah, you'd have to beat Firefox's encryption. Now, Google, I'm sure, makes sure that the low-level hackers hopefully can't get in there. But yeah, Google Password Manager says it all.
But Google has it.
Google has it. It's called
Yeah.
Google Password Manager. What else do you have to say?
But there's a I keep getting confused about this. Sometimes you end up using Google because somebody has loaded the Google search engine in their site. So if you're searching on there or something, you use Google. And then there's Chromium, which is the core for most of the search engines, right?
No, it's okay. The core search engines, depending who did it. Okay, so if you're using they're different search engines, all of them have their pluses and minuses, and depending on how much Google Analytics exist in that particular browser's offering is how much Google you're dealing with.
So it depends on how they put together their site.
Yes, their search engine. Yes.
Okay, it's
Sorry,
complicated.
for the good news, folks, but there it is. But
I assumed that I used to use I have a Gmail account that I know that I do not use.
me
I
too.
set it up so that I could send email that was bigger than like an attachment that was bigger than could be handled by some. And I also used Gmail as my email address with junk sites so that they would be looking up my, so when I had a,
Bravo. Bravo, counselor.
when I would sign on, I would, and
Way to go.
so I assumed that because those sites, which have their own passwords, because they have my Gmail email address, that's how my passwords got to Google. Is that not true?
No, I wouldn't. No. That may be a bit of a jump. That may be true. But
It's hard to know what
yeah.
they're doing.
Well, if believe me, if I had superpowers, I could tell you these things. Okay. You see what I'm saying? If I could get into the core functions of what Google, Microsoft, and Apple are doing and look at their source code and actually figure out what's going on and try and discern what the data beast elements are, oh, it'd be a dream come true. It'd be a
Right.
dream come true.
Okay. Next question is, would you recommend the following? What QFS, Wise app, XRP, and do you have any information on Nisara and Jisara? It seems like it would be a digital distribution system. How does that jive in our current situation? Thanks
Okay.
for your
Okay. So let me start off with Wise. I have friends of mine that use Wise and are pretty happy with it. I've not heard anything disparaging about Wise as of yet. As for QFS XRP, QFS is quantum financial system. XRP is a blockchain Bitcoin crypto. Okay, Nisara, Jisara. I've had friends of mine that for the last 20 years, and this is just like Catherine, who have
okay.
spent, yeah, who have gone out and they've got their Iraqi dinar sitting
Right.
there. And man, they're watching. If I'm going to steal Catherine's explanation, if you just went out and got a job working, a minimum wage job and spend the same amount of time, you'd be better off financially. Because what the internet is good for. Blockchain is poised right now. Bitcoin, blockchain et al. Is poised to basically do the most thorough pump and dump that it's ever been comprised. They're going to try and digitalize everything and steal it through blockchain and crypto. Okay. And I have other people who have been interviewed on, Solari would agree with me. So the problem, the inference is that there is a legal system that, because they have QFS, XRP, Nisara, Gesera, infers there is a legal system that everybody who participates in this will be protected and justice administered fairly to protect people's property.
And that is not a fair assumption.
That is not a fair acceptance. So in my
The other
hum
thing is, as I understand it, Nisara and Jisara are, theoretical systems that we don't have. And people that I would call, that I loosely refer to as the MAGA Q people, do a lot of writing about it, as you said, and the quantum financial system too. And they say, we're going to have this. Life is going to be wonderful and that will solve all the problems. Meanwhile, what the guys are actually doing in Basel, Switzerland is plotting our CBDCs and,
Well,
and our treasury is borrowing so much money that, it's a so it is quite a diversion. I mean, we don't have it yet, and you have no control over whether we adopt it. And therefore, I guess the question is, why are you spending many hours talking about it?
What's the underpinning legislation that supports all of this stuff?
Right. There isn't any.
Ta-da. So in my humble opinion, this is hopium to the nines. If there's a magical financial system that will be fast, fair, and accurate, good luck. But as Carlin would say, it's not for people who aren't in the club. Okay. Now, this may exist. All of those things may exist for the Bilderberger Group or the BIS Group. So basically, for all of the tapeworm entities and the people that live, own, operate the tapeworm, they may have something like this right now. They may have these wonderful Bitcoins, da 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 da, that reduces their transactional fees, name it. Okay. All this stuff could be, they could be using it now, but you got to be in the club.
Right.
All right. And this is all, st anything that's going to really improve our lives, et cetera, technology-wise, is the hope is there, but without the governance, without the legal structure to keep everything fair and flowing, it ain't gonna happen.
Well, right. And it's not a matter of on January 20th going to say, I, the ruler of the world, as president of the United States, the most important country in the world, deem that we are now switching to Nisara. That is not the way it works.
No, even if you walked across somebody's swimming pool, it wouldn't happen.
Right.
Okay. So it's, yeah, it, these things are, again, if there's no underpinning legal precedents, rules, regulations, infrastructure, then this stuff ain't happening, period.
Right. Okay, question seven. Thoughts on emerging Web 3.0 DWeb, which is distributed web hosting ecosystem. Solari videos run on PeerTube, which is the Web 3.0, but will the new Solari.com in the works also be running on a similar DWeb setup to escape censorship or web shutdowns, since it can function without DNS servers? PeerTube runs on a platform similar to Bastion, which is, this isn't you writing this, is it,
No,
James?
no.
Okay, this is from, okay, this person apparently knows, thinks he or she knows what we have. PeerTube runs on a platform similar to Bastion, which is launching mini apps Q1 hyphen 1 apostrophe 25.
Q1 of
25.
25, Q1 of 25.
Okay, that supposedly make it easier to launch a Solari.com dweb site, which may be something to look into. Unlike Bastion, that's Bastion, IPFS, which is Interplanetary File System, doesn't run on a blockchain and has the same setup as PeerTube as far as distributed hosting, that each Solari subscriber could host a piece of Solari.com simply by adding it to their Brave browser, natively or through their Firefox LibreWolf browser using an add-on. Any recommended resources on DWeb?
Okay, so what I did, I included CoinMarketApp.com, and it has the current state of DWeb development. So you can go take a look at the guys that are actually working on this. PeerTube is, what I've seen, is great for public videos, video offerings. It's great if you don't want someone getting into it. But for anything behind a paywall, I just don't believe it's tough enough. Currently, our Solari video library is between 5 and 6 terabytes, and it's growing every day. Okay, so that's a lot of data to share. It would be nice. We are definitely looking at distributed, solutions for all of our platforms, audio, video, web content, and we've seen a few, and we're trying to make the best decisions within our financial weight class to get it out the door.
Okay, well, I don't know what any of this means, so whoever
Oh,
understands.
well, anyway, like I said, PeerTube. Okay, so yes, we are looking into more distributed Web 3.0. Don't know. Don't know.
Okay, the next link is FCC approves direct to smartphone regulatory framework. So, as I understand it, this is from Space News, and as I understand it, this is they're approving something along the lines of SpaceX or whatever Elon Musk's system is, which I understood. This was dated March, I want to say. Didn't they use space his link up in Western North Carolina when they were out of electricity and cell service?
They used his
It isn't SpaceX.
satellite,
What?
yeah, SpaceX, his SpaceX platform.
And so they've approved, apparently the FCC has approved the ability for smartphones to link up to something that's basically covers the earth. And I don't know what happens to people who have a sensitivity to cell rays.
Good question. Don't know. Don't know. It just depends on how much power it takes and how s susceptible you are to a very low level signal. So that's it. What kind of signals they're using and how strong they are will dictate those effects.
Right. So this basically would allow you to use a cell phone in the Sahara Desert, right?
That's where they're trying to go. And like RFK Jr. says, now there's no place to hide.
Yeah. I mean, the FCC is not doing this. It's just that FCC is approving the saying as a regulatory matter, it's okay to do that. The next one is Clearview AI, controversial face recognition firm, fined $33 million for an illegal database. This fine was from the Dutch regulators, and it's an American company, and so they've challenged whether there's jurisdiction. Apparently, there also have been fines levied, presumably not paid. In Italy, Austria, a bunch of European countries, because they have more regulatory might than we do in this country, and their regulations basically would make it illegal to collect all this facial data. Apparently, what this Clearview, I will also comment that Clearview is what is used to see whether you're pregnant. It's a test for pregnancy, so I f find it interesting. This is called Clearview AI, but they apparently have somewhere between 30 and 50 billion faces that they've been collecting, presumably scraping the internet of
So,
you know your if
yes.
your face has been on the internet at all,
Yes.
including on Facebook, they've got your face. And this is really scary
So,
that a
yeah.
private company has 50 billion or 30 billion faces that
Well,
are connected to something, a name or something.
I'm going to read a quote from this story. The Dutch watchdog said it had fined Clearview $33.7 million for automatically harvesting billions of photos of people from the internet, which it then converts into a unique biometric code per face.
Right.
Right? Get that? Clearview uses this illegal database to sell facial recognition services to intelligence, investigative services, law enforcement, etc., who can then use Clearview to identify people in images. So imagine that.
Yeah, you're talking NSA, CIA, and your local police department. And
Right.
there was
I'm
something you
shocked.
indicate that in some states it's not legal for the police to do that, or local regulations, but somehow they sometimes get around it by having someone
How
else
can
do
you
the
tell?
story.
How can you tell? You say, who knows?
If
Right.
you think, oh, I've never done anything wrong in my life, that all I can say is, gee, imagine that you get frustrated when you're going through a divorce and your ex is putting, pulling a fast one with the kids being picked up, and you lose your temper. And
Guess report it.
are you real? That's going to be on a ring, by the way. I did see that in a custody case where the wife had a ring doorbell recording of the husband who ex-husband who came to pick up the kid, and he lost his temper. So when people say, I have nothing to hide, anything in your life can be used against you. Just look at Matt Gaetz, but Gates, anyway, who may or may not have done what they accuse him of, but they certainly have succeeded in getting him removed.
Well, he definitely beat a hasty retreat.
Yeah, now he may be a senator, may take Rubio's, is it Rubio or somebody's place,
I'm
somebody
not sure. I'm not
who's
sure.
abandoned a Senate seat in order to join the cabinet. Okay, the next one. I love Whitney Webb. Digital ID, tool of exclusion. In this eye-opening interview, Webb discusses how there is a global push by governments worldwide to implement digital IDs based on biometrics and how digital IDs are required to make CBDCs work. They want to move not just to a cashless society, but a cashless and cardless society. The goal is to have you pay with your face or pay with your biometrics or your palm or the palm of your hand. This is already being rolled out at Amazon-owned entities. JP Morgan is piloting for their customers. And I'm sure at some point, if you don't want to use your biometrics for those purposes, then your bank will be like, sorry, you can't bank with us. Digital IDs are a key part of the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, or SDGs, also known as Agenda 2030. The specific part of the Sustainable Development Goals dealing with digital IDs is within SDG 16, which they claim is about building quote unquote peaceful and inclusive societies. The primary organization pushing this agenda is ID 2020 and the Digital Impact Alliance. These UN and transnational entities claim the lack of digital ID is preventing people, mainly the poor, the world's poor, of course, from accessing essential services, whether it's banking, education, or healthcare. They call this the identity gap. That's the end of the quote, but let me tell you, if you start seeing things being discussed in terms of equity and helping the poor, just understand that the business corporations, international business corporations do not care about poor people. They're using that as an excuse to get people who, want to do good to go along with nefarious things. That's all I have to say.
Bravo. This is well worth the listen. I mean, Whitney does an amazing job, and I'm thrilled that she's an ally.
And by the way, I seriously doubt that Whitney Webb has a Facebook page. As I know that Catherine Austin Fitz does not have a Facebook page, and we think that she know that there is no longer one, but there was a fake one, and we went through quite a lot to get it taken down. But be very skeptical when people like Catherine Austin Fitz and Whitney Webb start using Facebook.
And start giving sales pitches for gold IRAs, et cetera.
Right. And there's some kind of scam connected to the one that was. The next one is O2's AI granny knits tall tales to waste scam callers' time. This is fabulous. Somebody has gone in and figured a way to make AI think that she's actually talking to them and waste a huge amount of time. It's ingenious, and the more things can people can do, like filling in QR codes with their ballpoint pens, the better. But
All I can tell you, this is what happens when technology is used for the good. Okay.
right.
Eons ago, I used to work for a company that did integrated voice response, which was the last five checks to the bank, that kind of thing. And back then, those systems were very, very expensive if you wanted to get your hands on one. So there was one guy that was a developer that got his hands on one and took great delight in calling the bank and giving them hell. So he'd call the incoming, or he'd do a lot, something a lot like this, which was called AVR, which was the outbound call versus the IVR, which is the inbound call to the bank. And he gave them hell. So this is a takeoff on that. And I just applaud the gentleman who did this to the nines.
Right. By the way, these may be out of order if you're looking at the script. So, because I skipped a couple, so we went back. The next one is says, I thought the Solari community might be interested in a crowdsourced initiative called DFLOCK, DFLOCK, to identify and publish the location of automatic license plate recognition cameras used for su surveillance, and that this person provides a link to the site.
Great effort. Their hearts appear to be in the right place. And hopefully, this will inspire other people to take up the sword and do other things like this, because it's desperately
Right.
needed.
And then in Unanswered Questions, we have a link to Joseph Farrell, who always has interesting things, many of which are provided by his subscribers. This is at Giza Death Star, and it is about teleportation. Apparently, the quantum scientists are working on something that at least people who have some idea of what quantum physics is about think might actually be going somewhere. But he talks about, when you're being teleported, the way it presumably would work is that it deconstructs, it takes apart your atoms in one place and then puts them together in another place. And I guess using atoms or electrons or whatever these particles are in the new place to put together what was in the old space, rather than actually physically taking your body. And there's the question of, well, are you actually living when your body is being deconstructed this way? But anyway, it's very it's it he raises some interesting questions, and it's all along the lines of Joseph P. Farrell and how he does that.
What I think is interesting, this is an argument straight out of the Star Trek, the original series. So the question is this old news? Do we actually have this kind of technology? And if the answer is yes, how old is it? Because the Solari argument for this type of technology is that if you have $22 trillion, what can't you accomplish? If you've stolen 22 trillion, or if Dr. Skidmore's numbers are accurate, $50 trillion, what evil can't you accomplish? What can't you do? And this is a very serious question. And when people say, oh no, they can't do that, oh no, they can't manipulate weather, oh no, they can't cause earthquakes. Well, good old Nikola Tesla had a patented an earthquake machine. Believe me, if they think they can weaponize something, and the object of the of these guys, of the whoever the space entity is that is running Donald Trump's space command or the competing space command, the question is, why would you even bother throwing that kind of money into those entities if you didn't have the technology to back them up, so.
All I can say is we should not be worrying about these things. And we need to have faith that good is going to triumph and have our energy directed in the direction of peace and unity and good and doing away with the evil things that might be embedded in AI. And so
Right.
we need to think, we need to manifest the good stuff.
Right. But be aware what the threat is out there.
Right. Okay, well, we will see you again next month. And in the meantime, watch the Best of Tech Corner that the editors are probably having a really good time putting together right now.
And for everyone in the States, have a wonderful and blessed Turkey Day.
Yes.